Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Jeffcats, News Radio WRVA. It is a Wednesday afternoon. There are some who are determined to get the Richmond City Council to have some sort of a vote against Israel. Now, it's the same Richmond City Council that can't figure out how to fill potholes. Same Richmond City Council that looks at the Richmond public school system and says, huh, so you folks thought you were going to learn how to read, did you? Yeah, well. Now, thus far, I do have to give them credit. I really, really do. Thus far, they have not undertaken the collective stupidity of having some sort of resolution on the Middle East. But it's coming. Make no mistake about it. It's on the way. They've got a very active Instagram account, and it's called No Votes for Genocide. Genocide, of course, is what the morons are calling Israel's pushback against the terrorists. Why? Well, because they're thoroughly useful idiots. It's a little bit like that demented little troll. That's how she was described, so I'm just going to share it. That Greta Thunberg. She's now out advocating on behalf of Hamas. Can you believe this nonsense? I mean, honest to God, you just sit back and you think, well, it can't possibly get any worse. And then one of these folks says, here, hold my Bud Light. Let's make it worse. I don't know how you do that. It just seems to me, you get to a point, there ought to be a limit. Right? It's like, I don't know, having too much to drink or having too much to eat or gaining weight or something. You go, oh, you know what? That's it, man. Boy, forget about it. No, I got to do something about this. The late, great John Panette. Remember him? One of the funniest stand-up comedians ever. And John was a big guy. He was a really big guy. In fact, his nickname when he was first coming into the world of comedy was the Boston Globe, which is one of the two newspapers up in Boston. And he talked about sumo wrestlers. He had a whole bit on it. He talked about sumo wrestlers. He says, you know, well, those guys are big. And John himself was probably 300 pounds at the time he's doing the bit. He says, I look at them and say, oh, you have really let yourself go. And that's how I feel about some of this, where somebody has just got to say, seriously, it's just enough. It's just enough. I am telling you right now, as sure as I am sitting here, and I know we got a lot of great stuff coming up, but I just saw this particular Instagram account. I'm just waiting. I really am. I am just waiting for the leftists to get in on it and see how far they can take it. Tiny Tim Kaine? Yeah. Mark Warner? Well, you know Mark Warner, right? Seriously, doesn't he always look like, you know, he's trying to do... Anyway, so will they weigh in on this? I mean, they already have taken a position that is anti-Israel. Maybe they go along with this at this point. The current mayor of Richmond, LeVar Stoney, who now has decided he wants to be what? Lieutenant governor? Because he's going to bring the same level of excellence and professionalism that the city of Richmond has suffered under for the last 8 years. Bring that to the entire Commonwealth. Because, you know, again, why not? Where is he going to be on this? And it's difficult for many in Richmond's Jewish community, the Central Virginia Jewish community anyway, to get a handle on this. Because so many members of the Central Virginia Jewish community are themselves leftists. And this is something that's playing out all across America. It's really, I don't want to say entertaining because that diminishes it, but for me, as a Jewish guy who's not a leftist, I look at this and I'm just thinking, man, I told you about this. Right? You want to wag your finger and say, I warned you. I warned you what they were up to. I warned you what they were willing to do. So, I just mentioned that. It just happened to pop up. Somebody sent this IG account over, and I just happened to take a look at it. So, what can I tell you? All right, yeah, Jerem, I'll send it over to you, and you can take a look at it or see what else is going on with that. Robert Spencer's going to be here in about a half an hour. He's got a brand new biography out of Muhammad. Yeah, the prophet Muhammad. I think it's really in it. Now, Robert says we are absolutely facing very, very difficult challenges. And you and I have certainly talked about this. Who is twisting ideology or twisting religion? Who's utilizing it as a pretense to commit acts of violence? Well, Robert Spencer has a little bit of insight, and he'll be with us at 3:35. I also have an absolute freakout that I'm looking at from Democrats across America, which, you know, kind of makes me feel good, of course. Because in Wisconsin, of all places, Wisconsin is supposed to be just locked up for Kamala Harris, right? She is apparently now down by 3 points in Wisconsin. Tammy Baldwin, who is a far left winger, man, an extremist U.S. senator for Wisconsin. This should have been a cakewalk for her. Right now, she leads, apparently, according to the Wall Street Journal, by 2 percentage points, which is well within the margin of error. So this whole coup to topple Joe Biden, which was motivated, we learned, by folks like Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, because they feared that with a Biden loss, and it was a guaranteed Biden loss, there was no way Biden was going to win, but that with that catastrophic Biden loss, there was going to be a huge, huge down-ballot impact, which got rid of a whole bunch of Democrats in the U.S. Senate and in the U.S. House. So they said, well, we got to do something about it. So you had the palace coup. They pitched Joe Biden right off the cliff, right? Pushed his wheelchair right over the cliff. And they picked Kamala Harris. They selected her. It was interesting. She was on, oh, God, was it that stupid Stephen Colbert show? Or I don't know, one of them. Where she says, oh, you know, it was a huge honor to be elected. You weren't elected. You were selected. There's an S at the beginning of that word. You were selected to be the Democrat Party nominee. You weren't chosen by any of the voters. In fact, and no offense, ma'am, but you've never actually been chosen by any voters to be the presidential nominee. I would say you failed, but you dropped out of the last primary system before there was a single caucus or a primary election. You just folded your tent and you went home. So you never got any votes there. And you didn't get any votes from people this time out. Meanwhile, there are millions of loyal Democrats. Now, I think they may be misguided on policy, but they seem like pretty decent people, nice people, right? Devoted to their party. They believe in it. They went out and they voted. And they voted for Joe Biden. And then you took him away. Joe Biden also had an appearance where he was talking about Florida. Now, you know, he's sort of babbling about Hurricane Milton, which is nothing to laugh about. This is huge. Category 5 hurricane that, as of a couple of moments ago, looked like it was going to hit sort of center on Tampa. Well, you got 3.5 million people in that area. That's a lot of people. And Tampa itself has not had a hurricane of this magnitude since the 1920s. And the mayor there is Jane Castor. She's an interesting woman, by the way. Jane Castor is I don't know exactly what's happened to her. She was a police officer, and she was very openly gay, for whatever that's worth. But she was actually a cop, and she had a reputation as a pretty good cop. And then she was the chief of police, and, you know, everybody knew about her personal life, and from everything that I could tell, nobody really cared. And then she decided politically it would be more advantageous for her to become a Democrat, which I think is twisted. I think it would have been much more advantageous for her to remain as a Republican. It's why I look at my buddy John Reed, right? If John's going to run for lieutenant governor, and I don't know that he is, I don't have any inside information. I'm hoping that he does, because I fully intend to support him and make a contribution to his campaign and all that. But I think it positions him in a very unique way to stand up and say that he is a very conservative Republican who also happens to be a gay guy, right? That's a good story. It's an interesting story. And I think that really was the case with Jane Castor down in Tampa. But anyway, I digress. So Jane Castor announced at a press conference a little bit earlier, and she's very, very serious, said, hey, if you are in a single-story home, you need to understand that the storm surge we're looking at in Tampa is about 15 feet. And your single-story home is only about 12 feet high, which means that's going to be your coffin. That's what she said. I mean, does it get much more direct than that? Kamala Harris yesterday was trying to spin politics and say that Ron DeSantis would not take her phone call to discuss the hurricane and FEMA. Ron DeSantis said, number one, she never called me. Number two, I'm not taking her call anyway because the vice president has nothing to do with FEMA or relief efforts. Joe Biden, who I really do think is not happy about having been deposed, he went to great lengths in his presser to talk about Ron DeSantis doing a great job, and he pointed out that Ron DeSantis has his, meaning Joe Biden, his personal phone number. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. All right. I just wanted to share that with you. All right. Now, we got a lot of other stuff to go to. I do have some more polling numbers coming in from across America. Lots of places that we've been told should not be in play are very much in play. We're 27 days until the presidential election. And I, as you know, I don't do predictions. But today's one of those days. I'm feeling pretty good. I really am. Oh, I mentioned John Reed. John is here each and every morning at 6 a.m. I want to make sure that you are here for that. Don't miss it. Get here early so you can hear Gary Hess delivering the news. Quick reminder about our Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. I will certainly share the text with you in a moment. And some folks have reached out to me and said, hey, Jeff, what happened to Charles Pyle? He's doing a great job on your show, and I said, yes, he is. And he's a good, solid news guy. I said, oh, he absolutely is. I said, you know, we're very, very happy to have him. So, well, why wasn't he there the last couple of days? Charles has got a family matter, and I'm not going to get into it, not my place. But it's a pretty intense sort of a thing that he's dealing with at the moment with the family issue. So give him a little space. We're hoping he'll be back tomorrow. We don't know, but I would hope that he is back tomorrow. And I always preface this by saying, if you are so inclined, because some people are like, yeah, I don't do that. But if you are so inclined, I would ask you to keep Charles and his family in your thoughts and your prayers, because they could use it right about now. It is 316 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
322, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Wednesday. Yep, it is. It's Wednesday. Which for me this week is kind of like Friday Eve, because tomorrow is Thursday. I know you're thinking it would be Thursday Eve, but I'm not going to be here Friday because it is Yom Kippur, the holiest day on the Jewish calendar, so I shan't be here. So tomorrow will be the wrap-up of the week for me. Let me share a couple of little snippets with you that I just think are absolutely, they're priceless. Cut number two is The View. Kamala Harris sat down with the ladies of The View. Now, this was, to put it mildly, the softest of softball questions. These were all layups and setups. It doesn't get any easier than this. And somehow, some way, our not ready for primetime Vice President Kamala Harris managed to screw this one up as well. Cut number two.
Well, if anything, would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
So, no, it's just me. But again, you're telling us one day you are, and I'm quoting you here, you're the change agent. You're going to change things. Things are going to be different. And then when you're asked, hey, the stuff that's happened, what would you have done differently? Oh, I wouldn't have changed anything. In fact, I was part of making all these decisions. Well, the decisions that you were part of making then, I don't know how to break it to you, are really, really bad. And the people in America, folks like me, we're suffering and we're paying the price for that. I go back to the fact that as a working person, if you have not received a 19% increase in your salary, you are making less money today than you were 4 years ago. Have you gotten a 19% increase in your salary? Because I haven't. Oh, I'll just tell you flat out, I have not. So I have taken a pay cut over the last 4 years. How about you? That's a direct result of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris presiding over an economy that has seen inflation the likes of which we haven't seen in a couple of generations. So you want to tell us you're going to do things differently, and then you tell us you wouldn't do anything differently. Well, I have to ask then, so which is it? Which is it? Howard Stern was another place that was a complete and total softball fest for Kamala Harris. And Kamala Harris didn't actually get a chance to mess up too much on the Stern show because Stern actually did most of the talking. I guess he was afraid that, well, she would speak and, you know, kind of mess stuff up for the leftists. But my God, we'll listen to some of that as we head through the next couple of moments. We've got Robert Spencer joining us. I haven't chatted with Robert in a long time. He's got a brand new biography of the Prophet Muhammad. How does that play out in 2024? It's 326, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 333, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Wednesday afternoon. It's nice, by the way. It really is. We're right about 70, 72 degrees, comfortable. Overnight's going to be chilly again. I don't know how to break it to you, but we're down in the 40s, believe it or not. There's once again an examination of what's going on in the Middle East, right? Some of us follow this all the time. Some of us are drawn back into it at one point or another. And so it seems that it's an appropriate time for a new biography coming from Robert Spencer on Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad, a critical biography. And I haven't chatted with Robert in, it seems like, forever, but this is it's a fascinating read, and it is just so well researched and annotated and footnoted, man. It in many ways, it's sort of like a textbook. And I'm happy to say that Robert's joining us. Robert, thank you for being here.
Hey, good to talk to you again, Jeff. Thank you.
Yeah, the pleasure's mine, man. Been way too long. So I'm going through this, the new book you have written, Muhammad, A Critical Biography, and I'm encouraging people to read it. I'm also trying to get some insight, and I want you to share some observations and insight with my listeners. Number one, what prompted you to write it, and were you surprised by anything that came out of your research?
Well, the research came first, actually. I was surprised because I wrote a book a few years ago called Did Muhammad Exist? That shows that all of the stories that we take for granted as being historical records of Muhammad are actually written a couple hundred years after he's supposed to have lived, and they're not very historically reliable. And so I was going back into the material and seeing that not only was that true, but that there were different versions of the stories, a lot of variations. Even his name is not always Muhammad in all the stories. And so I thought, if I set all this out and tell the story of Muhammad with all the variations in the text, then people will see this is myth and legend. It's not historical fact. And, well, that can make a big difference.
Wow. All right. So your assertion then is that these are very interesting tales, but they are not pieces of history.
That's right. That these are tales that we need to know what they say, because Muslims take them very seriously and they act upon them, but they are not actually the historical records we've been led to believe.
All right, so let me take counterpoint for a second here, because the immediate response I know is going to be, well, come on, Robert. I mean, that's the case with all religions, right? Judaism, Christianity. I mean, they're all tales, and we put people here or there. Does that hold up on any level?
Not really, but it's. I appreciate you asking, because it's a very important comparison that you can make. A lot of people bring up Jesus in this connection and say, well, you know, we don't really know anything about him either. Right. But actually, it's a direct analogy, because Muhammad is supposed to have died in 632, and the crucifixion of Christ is supposed to have taken place around then, or 33 AD is generally the year that it's given. So that's exactly 600 years before the death of Muhammad. And so you take the 60 years after that. So you've got the 30s, early 30s to the 90s of the first century, and the early 30s to the 90s of the seventh century for Muhammad. And in the span in Christianity, you've got the writing of the New Testament, the writing of the followers of the New Testament writers who wrote writings that we still have. You have the establishment of churches. You have non-Christians talking about Christianity and Christ. But in the 630s to 690s, while you have the Arabs conquering what was half the known world at the time, and you'd think they might have mentioned that they were doing this because they were inspired by the new prophet, there's no mention of Muhammad as prophet of Islam, no mention of Islam, no mention of the Quran or any of this at all.
Really? Okay,
yep.
So that, as you know, because again, you've been down this path a time or two, that is a complete and total shock to 99% of the people who are sitting here right now, because the response just was, I could hear it from listeners, was, really? So explain that in a little more detail.
Okay, well, you see, as I said, Muhammad's supposed to have died in 632.
Right.
And take, for example, when the Muslims conquered Jerusalem, that was about 5 years after that, in 637 or 8.
Okay.
Now, the leader of Jerusalem at the time was the Christian bishop, because it was part of the Roman Empire, but the Roman Empire actually was very weak at the time because it had just been fighting all these wars with the Persians. So the effective leader of Jerusalem was the Christian patriarch, and he was named Sophronius. Sophronius wrote a lot of things, and he left them. We still have them. They still exist, and you can see him talking about the conquest, talking about the invaders, talking about how they hate the Christians and burn down churches and so on, but never does he give a hint that they have a new religion themselves or that they have a new prophet or a new holy book. And this is in direct contradiction to Islamic stories from the literature in which we get Muhammad's biography, which come from 200 years later, where Sophronius meets Umar, the caliph and successor of Muhammad, and they talk about Islam, and he shows him around the city and says, why don't you go pray in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre? And Umar says, no, I don't want to do that because then my followers will take it for a mosque. I'll leave it for you Christians. And all of that is completely fictional. We don't find it in Sophronius' actual writings at all.
Wow. Robert Spencer is joining us. His new book is entitled Muhammad, a critical biography. Just about the first page. I mean, here it is. It's chapter one, page number six. You start with this line. The myth of Muhammad may have been born in the Bible. So where do we get that? Is Muhammad in the Bible?
No, Muhammad is not in the Bible. There are Islamic apologists who will tell you Muhammad is in the Bible. But what there is in the Bible is the word, which means the one who is being praised, the praised one. Okay. And it seems as if Muhammad was actually a title that comes from some of these phrases that are used in the Bible and that are then adapted to make this individual who became the prophet of a new religion. Now, why would they make up a new religion? Because in those days, religions were what held empires together. And once the Arabs had gathered their massive empire, they developed this religion in order to solidify it, in order to make it unified and make it able to grow, which is why they made it martial and violent and so on, because they were a bunch of warriors who wanted their empire to survive in a very difficult region. But in those days, there weren't parliaments and constitutions and things like that. This was how people held empires together, and the Arabs put their religion together with that in mind.
All right. Now, we've talked a little bit about the Bible. Is Muhammad in there? Well, what about the Quran? I mean, because you've got Muhammad mentioned in there. Is his life story not part of the Quran?
Not a bit. You would think that Muhammad would be all over the Quran, but what we actually have is an unnamed messenger who is frequently referred to, that Muslims are told to obey the messenger over and over again in the Quran. And people assume that's Muhammad, but Muhammad is actually only named by name four times in the Quran, and those four don't have any biographical information about him. And so it's altogether possible, and I actually think it's likely after studying this for 10, 15 years now, that the Quran is not referring to, when it talks about the messenger, the Muhammad of Islam, but to somebody else, maybe even to different people in different places. And that these were different kinds of religious writings that were incorporated into the Quran and adapted to create Islam. But originally they were Jewish and Christian writings.
What about the story that I've heard throughout the years that said, well, Muhammad first went to the Jews and said, hey, I'm the new prophet. I'm the new messenger. You got to pay attention to me. Is there credence to that?
Well, it does seem as if that there's a lot of antagonism between the Jews and the Muslims, and yep, also a lot of similarity, that they have this, both have the idea of laws that were given by the one true God, and that and a lot of these laws are the same, as in, you know, the food laws, the avoidance of pork, and so on. Mm-hmm. And so it seems as if there was a connection between the communities at some point, and that they broke with the Jews and the Muslims broke with each other, and there's a lot of bitterness, a lot of anger in the Quran, a lot of anger, especially in the biographical literature about Muhammad and in Islamic tradition toward the Jews, and they're scapegoated as being the worst enemies of the Muslims, these terrible people who are cursed by Allah, and so on. So it's it's the most likely explanation is that the new community started out saying they were within the realm of the Jewish tradition in some way, and the Jews rejected that idea, and so the new community of the Muslims lashed out against them.
Where are we at this point, Robert? I mean, you have a billion plus people in the world who would argue with every single solitary thing that you have just said, right? Say, oh my gosh,
right.
No, Muhammad is the prophet, and we follow him, and it's clear. Have they gotten it all wrong? Has this been all wrong from the beginning? Was there, I don't know, I want to be as kind here as possible, was there some sort of miscommunication?
Well, not really. It's very easy to understand why they would think that Muhammad is the prophet that they should follow and so on, because there is extraordinarily detailed information about him, and it's readily available, and it seems to present a clear, coherent picture of an individual, and so they don't really see any problem with this. Mm-hmm. It's only when you start looking more closely at the material and you see, well, it is all very detailed, but it's also 200 years later, yeah, after he's supposed to have lived. So how reliable really can it be? It would be like if we were just if we had heard stories about Thomas Jefferson when we were kids and they circulated around and people had different versions and there were variations and people would make up new ones and so on. And then after 200 years after he lived, he died in 1826. So right about now, you would have somebody coming out with a biography of him. Well, how reliable would that be based on the fact that it's 200 years removed from the man and that there's been a lot of people making up stories about him?
It's a great question. And the book is absolutely fascinating. Muhammad, A Critical Biography. Robert, are you ever concerned? I mean, we've seen some real serious threats. We've seen violence. Salman Rushdie comes to mind immediately. You have spent a lifetime analyzing, investigating, writing like this. Do you live every day in fear, or have you just decided I've got to share this with everybody?
Yeah, I don't live every day in fear, Jeff, because I know that I'm not going to live forever if I don't do this. And the fact is, they have tried to kill me twice. They haven't succeeded as of yet. Maybe the third time will be a charm, but I was poisoned in Iceland, and I was a target of an assassination attempt at the Muhammad Art Exhibit and Cartoon Contest in Texas in 2015. And so, you know, I've been getting a lot of threats. They're very upset about this book. People telling me if it comes out, then you're a dead man and so on. And, well, you know, I'm a dead man anyway. And so I think I'm going to tell the truth, and if we don't have people who are willing to tell the truth, even if there are risks, then everything is lost anyway.
That's a great point. Robert, tell everybody where they can get a copy of Muhammad, A Critical Biography.
Yeah, it's at Amazon, at Barnes & Noble, and anywhere there's still bookstores.
Well, before I let you go, Robert, now, has there been any pushback? Has Amazon said to you, hey, listen, we may not be able to handle this? Or Barnes & Noble said, oh, we got people threatening the store with boycotts or violence?
Amazon actually did carry out a lot of shenanigans at the beginning. They were spiking good reviews and highlighting bad ones, and it seemed as if they were very slow to report. I would get all these emails from people saying, I left a positive review and it didn't go up, or it would go up a week later or never go up at all. And so I don't know if they're still doing that. There are a few positive reviews that went up.
Okay.
But certainly somebody in the company doesn't like this book.
I can only imagine. Well, Robert, I want to urge everybody who's listening to this program to get a copy of Muhammad, A Critical Biography. You can do it at Amazon. And if you like it, leave a positive review for Robert. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. And I would urge people who, by the way, are listening to Robert going, oh, man, I don't believe that at all. Good. You especially should get a copy of the book and do your own investigation. Robert, I got to get you back soon. We got a lot that we can talk about, including this. Obviously, I'm sure you got other stuff you're working on, and again, good to hear your voice. Been a long time, and best of luck with the new book, and we will get you back to talk further about it if that's all right.
Many thanks, Jeff. I look forward to it.
Thank you, sir. That is Robert Spencer. Fascinating guy. Absolutely fascinating guy. And he's quite humble and maybe just a little protective, I guess, when he's talking about some of the threats. He has faced some very, very serious threats throughout the years. I'm not telling you. I'm not an expert. I just got the book a couple of days ago, and I'm just starting to work my way through it. I'm trying to highlight stuff, and the next time we get Robert back, hopefully I'm going to be able to address some of the issues that rise up for me. If you get yourself a copy of the book, send me a note. And say, hey, I saw this, and you know what? I think he's completely wrong. You got to ask him about this. I'll be more than happy to do it, and then knowing him, he'll be very happy to answer that. But in the meantime, get yourself a copy of the book, Muhammad, A Critical Biography. It's written by Robert Spencer. 3:48, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Oh, boy. What? We got George Carlin back there picking tunes. Come on now. I know. A lot of people have that sense. This book is going to be something else, the critical biography of Muhammad. And I will give you the heads up. This is not one of those, hey, I'm taking it to the beach and I'm going to relax, or I'm going to sit out on the front porch. This is one where even if you don't own reading glasses, you're going to need reading glasses and a notepad, and you're going to want to have a highlighter because there's just so much in there. That's why I said part of it just really hit me almost like a textbook. That being said, it is a fascinating story. It really is. You're going to be interested. You're going to take a look at that. Hey, Mike Dickinson is going to be along at 5:35. We'll talk about the very latest nonsense coming out of the city of Richmond in particular. And again, this effort to get the Richmond City Council to have a resolution condemning Israel. It seems to be all the rage now. We're going to jump on Israel. I'm going to remind everybody. October the 7th, 2023, was the single largest slaughter of Jews in the world since the Holocaust. Does that not make it clear? I think it makes it very clear. And what Israel has done in the years since is to stand up and say, okay, well, we are going to fight back. This is one of the big differences that I have shared with you throughout the last couple of years. I always try and give you the lay of the land with how my parents were, right? My mom was in many ways, a very typical Jewish mom. No, don't say anything. Don't attract attention. Don't do any. No. We're gonna pretend that we didn't hear that or we didn't see that. My dad, on the other hand, as a former MP in the Army, said, "You damn right, you're gonna punch back," and that's the difference. And I would tell you right now, Bibi Netanyahu is firmly in the camp of my dad, and we are seeing punching back. And that's what we need. 3:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.